Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. Today I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I give to you today, if you love him, obey him, and keep all his laws, then you will prosper and become a nation of many people. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to occupy. But if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away to worship other gods, you will be destroyed. I warn you here and now. You will not live long in that land across the Jordan that you are about to occupy. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Obey him and be faithful to him. And then you and your descendants will live long in the land that he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. The cost of being a disciple. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. If one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will laugh at you. This man began to build, but can't finish the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king, who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face that other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king, to ask for terms of peace while he's still a long way off. In the same way," concluded Jesus, "none of you can be my disciples unless you give up everything you have." Thanks be to God.
So, what can we learn about our journeys through life from the journey that I've shared earlier and from our Bible readings today? Quite a number of things, I think. I know that the whole experience certainly taught me a lot. So, firstly, on our journey through life, our journey is Christ's way if we choose to follow him. It's a journey towards God, and it's a journey with God as well. After all, Jesus described himself as the way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." On my journey, I know that I needed faith and courage at times. Sometimes I felt lonely, but I would have felt a lot more lonely but for the fact that I certainly did feel that God was very much with me every step of the way, that he was leading and guiding and directing and even preparing the way for me to go before I was getting there. Then secondly, I think we learn that it is important to plan ahead and to count the cost. For any journey, obviously, it's wise to plan ahead. There are lots of arrangements that need to be made. And similarly, for our journey as disciples of Christ, discipleship shouldn't just be a really impulsive decision. As we've heard from our reading in Luke's Gospel, Jesus himself warned that total commitment needs careful thought. We need to use our heads as well as following our hearts, and we need to count the cost, and we need to be prepared. Because thirdly, whether it's as an individual Christian, a missionary, or a church community like ours here, any journey does involve taking risks. There seemed to be plenty of risks on my journey, and some of the things were things that were new to me. Rough weather in small planes and canoes. However careful we are about risk management, we know that Christ's way led him to the cross. So following Jesus and living our lives in Christ's way is never going to be risk-free or simple or easy. We have to be willing to take up our own cross if we're really going to be following. And then on any Christian journey, we start out with God, not in our own strength, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us, and we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. There needs to be a space in our lives for the Holy Spirit to lead us in unexpected ways. And we need to be flexible and willing enough to follow where the Spirit leads. We know where our journey starts, like boarding a plane for Heathrow, at Heathrow, but we can't see the end of the journey clearly from the beginning. Maybe a bit like starting out with a plane ticket to a different place, to the place we intend to go to. And because we can't see the way ahead clearly at the outset, we need faith and hope and trust to keep going. And we do have to travel one step at a time, one more step along the road. So, how about us? Are we also seeking the Spirit's leading today and ready to respond even to the unexpected? And then fifthly, we have to be ready to leave the past behind and look to the future. Every journey involves that. For me, that journey involved a giant leap into a new culture, a new way of life, learning new skills, new language, leaving behind everything that I knew. It's hard to think, really, of a more drastic change from North London to a tiny Pacific island, 1 mile by two. Sometimes we have to be prepared, like Paul, to keep on forgetting what lies behind and looking to what lies ahead, as Paul wrote to the people in Philippi. To leave behind past sins, past failures, past problems, and even past successes. But at the same time, we learn from the past and look to the future, and the past experience helps us to be more trusting of God in the future. We know he's been there in the past and we know he will continue to be there. On any journey, we travel best if we travel light. I think for missionaries, too much baggage is a constant problem. And yet we still persist in hanging on to it. We were asked on the canoe journey across from Munda to Goldie College to leave our large suitcases behind because of the rough weather. But even at the risk of overloading the canoe, on that occasion, all three of us said, no, we can't do that. We've brought this stuff all the way. It's the only stuff we've got, and we can't leave it behind here before we actually get to the end. We all refused. Well, as Christians, we have every opportunity to travel light because we can be like John Bunyan's pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. We can leave our burdens at the foot of the cross. We don't have to carry extra clutter of unforgiven sin and guilt on things that weigh people down so much. And if we're travelling light, we're also more able to help our fellow travellers along the way. And then finally, and very important, we don't travel alone. On any Christian journey through life, we are not by ourselves. For me, that realization that God was there every step of the way and at the same time ahead preparing was very important on my journey. And we have Jesus' promise from the end of Matthew's Gospel, I will be with you always. God wants to be with us, and he's promised that he will be, if we allow him to be. It's as those travellers on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter Sunday found out. They were actually walking along with Christ himself. He'd been there all the time, and yet they didn't realise who it was. But that didn't mean he wasn't there. He was still there with them, and he made himself known to them in breaking bread, as we're going to do together in a minute. We may sometimes wonder when we travel over life's rough places, where are you, Lord? But the most important discovery that we too can make on life's journey is that the Lord is there with us and, in fact, has been all the time. Just as Moses in our first Bible reading told the Israelites in the desert long ago, if we want to make that important discovery for ourselves, we are also faced with a choice. God offers us a choice between good and evil, between life and death, a choice between loving God, obeying him, and following his way for our lives, or going our own way and ignoring God. We can fully learn and know and experience all that we've thought about this morning, and indeed much more, that will enable us to live life to its fullest now and for eternity, if we choose God's way. Our challenge for this morning.